All right, Alexander, we have to do a real quick video on Navalny. I guess the story just kind of is lingering a little bit. And Nord Stream 2, obviously. I think that's a bigger story is Nord Stream 2.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sanctions. But it's all because of this Navalny hoax. So what's the latest?
Well, I think the mountain moved and produced a mouse. I mean, I'm not going to discuss the Navalny affair itself, the poisoning or the alleged poisoning or any of that. I mean, it seems to me we just don't know anything about that. But I'm going to simply say this. The European Union, or rather the Germans and various people around Europe were hinting darkly a few weeks ago that if Russia didn't come up with some kind of information about investigation, basically a confession that they poisoned Navalny, then all sorts of terrible things were going to happen. And Heiko Maas, who was the German foreign minister, very, very publicly hinted that it might involve Nord Stream 2. And there were suggestions that Nord Stream 2 might be stopped or frozen or suspended or whatever. There were all those sort of things being hinted at and said. And what has actually happened after all that, all those threats, all those warnings, all those demands being made of the Russians? Well, they met a few days ago. They decided that they would sanction some Russian individuals, not even Russian companies, by the way, just a few Russian individuals. They initially said that they were going to sanction 9 of them. Then they decided that they wouldn't sanction 9, but only 5. The 5, their names were published. One of them, who's Mr. Bortnikov, who is the director of the FSB, that's Russia's counterintelligence agency, he has already been sanctioned. So you're sanctioning someone you've already sanctioned. I mean, you impose an asset freeze and a travel ban on someone on whom you've already imposed an asset freeze and a travel ban. They've also incidentally simultaneously imposed asset freezes and travel bans on a man called Mr. Prigozhin, who is the man who owns the company that runs the Wagner mercenary outfit and troll farm in St. Petersburg. He, by the way, has also already been sanctioned and had asset bans and travel freezes. So, you know, we sanction the same people all over again. We then sanction a few other people. And one of the people we sanction is Sergei Kiryenko, who has a middle-ranking post in the presidential administration of Russia, which I find richly ironic, because in the 1990s, he was the great liberal hope. He was the prime minister of Russia, appointed by Boris Yeltsin, leading what the West said was the great reformist liberal government that was going to transform Russia into a Western state. So you come after him. I mean, of all the people you should come after, you know, why him, poor man? And of course, Mr. Kiryenko has nothing to do with the security services or the intelligence services that we know of. So why go after him over Navalny at all? And it seems that there are already concerns that these people may have cause to bring proceedings in the European Court of Justice to have these sanctions set aside, because there is no evidence, in fact, in existence that they were concerned with poisoning Navalny in any way. So a mountain moved and it produced a mouse. If the Russians weren't so angry, which they are, they're furious about this affair, they would be laughing. It shows the extent to which European Union diplomacy has degenerated into total farce, that they make threats they don't see through, that only create anger against the people that they're trying to intimidate, and which end up making them themselves look foolish. So a total, complete and utter debacle in every form.
All right, so the EU is useless, we know that. Mm-hmm. What's Russia going to do? They never do anything.
The Russians, what are they going to do? They're not going to do anything, because from their point of view, I think they feel they won on this one, actually. I mean, they're going to finish Nord Stream 2. That's what I think they feel this was all about. They sensed that the Europeans were not real about cancelling Nord Stream 2. They refused to confess or apologize or offer, you know, invite people to carry out investigations or do any of those sort of things. From their point of view, they call the EU's bluff.
And?
Oh, well, and they'll get Nord Stream 2, which is what, they will show to the Europeans, well, you know, you can huff and puff, but it doesn't, you know, we don't pay any attention.
Until the next...
Until the next meaning, until the next poison hoax. But why should the Russians take that one any more seriously than they've taken this one? I mean, the EU has lost credibility in this matter. That, it seems to me, is the obvious thing. And I mean, in 2014, when sanctions were first unrolled, the Russians were, I think, generally upset about them and worried about them. Now they just shrug their shoulders and say they don't care. And they're also saying Russian foreign minister is saying that, you know, we're not really going to waste any more time dealing with the EU directly anyway. So there we are.
I'm just trying to figure out all this. There's so many things going on that the EU could be dealing with.
Oh, I know.
And they're stuck with a dumb Navalny thing. And, you know, stupid. The EU, they're going through a massive lockdown.
Yes.
And, the Netherlands is going through a brutal knockdown. France is going through a brutal lockdown.
Absolutely.
And they're sitting around dealing with Navalny.
A massive economic recession. There was apparently a row in Germany between Merkel and the heads of the Länder. The southern states in Europe are close to insolvency. The European Central Bank is in crisis. All of this is going on. And they've been debating Navalny. And in the end, they couldn't even do anything important or significant about that. This whole episode has been a ridiculous waste of time. There is no sense in making threats if you can't act on them. And what it has done is exposed the European Union as a burst balloon.
Threats for what? I mean, even if Navalny, this some guy, some politician who garners maybe 0.5% of the vote, maybe if he's lucky, some guy gets poisoned in Russia and goes to Germany and it's okay. And his health is in danger. His life is in danger. If you're the chancellor, prime minister, president, whatever of a country, the chancellor of Germany, this is something you assign to the underling of the underling of the underling to deal with. While you've got this massive health pandemic, economic crisis going on.
Well, at the end of the day, what's it got to do with you at all anyway? I mean, you know, this is an attack that happened, if it happened, in Russia itself, involving a Russian citizen on Russian territory. I mean, why should you even be concerned? I mean, you talk about it being a nerve agent. But I mean, you know, it's not even on the list of what you say it is, isn't even on the list of prohibited nerve agents. You're absolutely right. This was just foolishness. But I mean, what it does show again is the extent to which the EU has completely lost its way. And I'm going to say something else, that the balance of power is again shifting. And I mean, the Europeans have, lost in this. Pointless confrontation with the Russians they've maneuvered themselves into, they have completely lost face.
Shifting where?
The Russians have won out on this one. They call the bluff on Nord Stream 2. They didn't pull back at all. They're going to finish Nord Stream 2. That will be working in a few weeks. And at the end of the day, what happened was that five people in Russia got asset bans and travel freezes, two of whom have them already. I mean, from their point of view, it was an awful lot of huffing and puffing, which achieved nothing.
Yeah, I mean, the EU is cooked. Sorry, it's just cooked. Unless that is part of the plan to just melt everything down and, as Boris Johnson says, build it back better, if that's part of the plan. But other than that, I mean, I see them as... By dealing with Navalny, it's almost like they're deliberately trying to melt the entire union's economy. Every country, they're just trying to melt it down. Because a normal functioning EU, a normal functioning Brussels, like we said, would have said, Navalny, who, what? Just tell your secretary to send someone to the hospital and deal with it. We've got to find a solution to all of this that's going on. But they didn't. Any of that.
Alex, I can remember years ago, back in the early 80s, there was a Bulgarian dissident in London called Georgi Markov, and he was killed, definitely by Bulgarian security service, probably working alongside the KGB. Did Margaret Thatcher, in those days, worry herself about that? did she create a political crisis? Did she distract herself from the important things that Britain was involved in because of Georgi Markov, a man, by the way, far more important in Bulgaria and in Bulgarian politics than Navalny has ever been? I mean, he was a real thorn in the side of the then Bulgarian communist government. Well, she didn't. I mean, as far as she was concerned, this was inconsequential incident. From the point of view of Britain, she was focused on British interests, British national interests, and she was certainly not going to start, getting on her high horse and striking poses, which she knew would achieve nothing and could only leave Britain looking foolish. And the European Union has struck poses, and it has clambered onto its high horses, and it has wasted its time on something that isn't really its concern, and it's ended up looking foolish, as it always does now.
Anyone that believes in or supports the EU is just a fool. You're just a complete fool. I don't know what else to say.
Well, there isn't anything else to say. We've spent a great deal of time on this affair. I think this will definitely.
Well, I know, but you know, now, like I said, Alexander, I was reading this morning about the France and what they're doing in Netherlands, and I mean, it drives you crazy because, you know, this is not what supposedly the EU concept of 20 years ago was about. It wasn't about, you know, melting down the economies and locking people in their homes or curfews at 9 o'clock. Or, I mean, it was about people trying to find solutions to these things, no matter how difficult.
I know, absolutely. I can remember, you know, when the European Economic Community, as it then was, consisted of serious people, people like Georges Pompidou, people like General de Gaulle, whom I just remember. People like, Willy Brandt and Helmut Schmidt, people like, dare I say, Margaret Thatcher, people, serious grown-up adults who, were concerned about, their countries, who were concerned about the future of Europe, who would never have got themselves. Well, I mean, as I said, I mean, Margaret Thatcher did not get herself distracted by this kind of nonsense. And, you know, you're perfectly right. And, can I just say something else? We've had an EU summit. I mean, there was, it may have passed people's notice that we actually had a European Council meeting. It was a virtual meeting, last week. This is supposed to be the most important meeting of the European Union. This brings together all the heads of government and heads of state. You know, Merkel is there, and Macron is there, and Conte of Italy are there. Has there been any reporting of this? Has there been any discussion? Has any important decision been made? No. The only decision that's come out of it is we're going to sanction 5 Russians no one in Europe has heard of, including 2 that we've sanctioned before. So that's all they've achieved. Well,
what a bunch of tools they all are. I mean, virtual media. I mean, during World War II, Churchill and Roosevelt, they made it to Yalta.
Well, of course they did. Exactly.
without high speed air travel and all the luxuries and whatever.
And Roosevelt, of course, was a disabled man. I mean, he was a disabled man, but he went all the way from the United States. He traveled these enormous distances, very arduous to him, to meet with Churchill and Stalin in Tehran. And before then, he met Churchill in Casablanca in Morocco. And Churchill, he would travel to Moscow, and he would travel to Washington. Those were serious people. I mean, those were, real politicians, real leaders, people who were in charge of their countries, who, you know, had serious views about the world and who, of course, shaped the world, who made it different and better in the end. These people that we have today are just inconsequential pygmies. They're dwarfs. Maybe I'm being un-PC in saying all those things, but they are simply people you cannot take seriously. I mean, they're ciphers. They are not really the people who make the decisions that matter in the world today. All they can think of doing, the only thing they can do, faced with a massive economic crisis, faced with massive lockdowns, a pandemic, a debt crisis in Southern Europe, massive unemployment, and all the rest, is come up with a list of five Russians, two of whom, as I said, they've already sanctioned and whom they're going to sanction all over again. That's all they can do. That's all they're able to do anymore. That's all that these great nations, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, countries that, you know, made the history of Europe, that's all that they're able to do nowadays.
I'm ashamed at all of them.
Absolutely.
They sit in their little office and they do these little virtual Zoom meetings.
Well, they should be
toughening up, getting on a damn plane, getting to Brussels, sitting in a room and finding a solution to the hell that is breaking loose in Europe. The economic hell that's breaking loose in Europe, and the madness of each country's loony policies. They should be forming a strategy to get this continent up off the ground, because you've said it many times, the U.S. will make it through if Trump wins. If Trump wins, they have a real leader, they're going to make it through. Russia has a real leader, they're going to make it through. Love China or hate China? I know everyone has very different feelings. Me personally, I'm very pissed off about what China has ushered in with this thing, but they have a serious man sitting there, and they're going to make it through. Europe were a bunch of freaking bozos.
Absolutely, completely agree with that. I entirely agree. And by the way, the only thing I don't agree with is about their little offices. They're huge offices. What has Macron done? He's redecorated the Elysee Palace. And I was, you know, recently, a few months ago in Berlin, just before the lockdowns began, and I was stunned by the size of the building, the Chancellery in Berlin, which now houses Angela Merkel's office. I mean, it is simply enormous. it is absolutely gigantic. I mean, you know, it is of gargantuan size, but it is completely unreflective of the importance, of the genuine and true importance of the decisions that are made there. Konrad Adenauer worked from a small office in Bonn. He was a serious man. Angela Merkel runs things from this giant palace in Berlin, modernist palace in Berlin, and all she does is provide us with immobilism and stagnation. There's the difference.
All right, we'll leave it there. We'll leave it there. What a depressing night of news. All right. PayPal, Patreon, subscribe, star. I think I said at the beginning.
And do come to our shop and get our mugs. Here's the mug with the United States flag.
And let me give. Here's a Germany one.
Yeah, indeed. And I've got Germany too somewhere. Here we go. There's Germany.
I've got a Poland hat right here.
And Germany there. And Britain, by the way, which is the country that's breaking away, or trying to at least they're trying, which is more than any of the others seem to be able.
Yeah, the UK with their three-tier thing which I don't
understand, by the way, and I haven't yet encountered a single person who does understand it. So there we are.
So we need some serious people. I don't know how to say it anymore. Please, God, give us some serious people. At least bring someone in Greece who is serious. Someone, anybody. A new contest for Patriotic Legacy. We won't do a long pitch, Alexander. We just have a new contest that I just want to announce because are starting it today. And so we're giving away a Duran t-shirt. You'll see it on the screen right now with the Patreon beacon, the black one. The traditional black one, which is the best, which is awesome, one of the best ones, is black Patriotic Legacy.
Absolutely,
that's the new contest. Durant 20% off.
And this is the black a patriotic beacon made by our friends at the Patriotic Legacy in the United States, the best flashlight in the world without exception, and it's coming in black, and it ships internationally, and you cannot afford to be without one, because if you need a flashlight, this is the best, bar none, none at all. I say that with absolute confidence.
Absolutely. You'll find a link for that in the description box down below the Patriotic Legacy. Remember to use Duran 20, you get 20% off.
Yeah.
And if you win the contest, you get that exact black flashlight. Not that one that Alexander has, but one just like that. And you also get a Duran t-shirt. You'll see the t-shirt on the screen. It has our logo. It has, it's awesome. The shirts are awesome.
The shirts are absolutely awesome. Absolutely.
All right, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.